Psalm 23 is probably the best known and the most loved passage in the entire Bible. I mean, people who barely read the Bible know this psalm. It is the single most requested passage that people want to have read at funerals, at least in my experience. And it is remembered even by those whose mind has slipped and who forget everything else. They still remember the words of this psalm. It is the crown jewel of the scriptures, and its beauty and its simplicity make it one of the greatest poems ever to have been written. And Christians, my goal today is not to change that. My goal is to make it even more precious in our sight, not by saying everything that could be said. That would take a lifetime. I could stand up here Sunday after Sunday and never run out of things to say about this psalm. But rather to polish it so that we can see it all the more clearly and see how wonderfully and how beautifully this psalm shows us who God is and how good he is to those who love him. But there are, of course, two things working against us in this: how familiar this psalm is to us, and also how unfamiliar it is. And I don't mean that as a joke. Both of those things are true. On the one hand, this psalm is easily the most familiar passage in all of the scriptures. I'm sure all of you right now, without looking at your bulletin, would be able to recite most, if not all, of this psalm. It has been burned into our memory. And that's a good thing. I mean, it is always a good thing when we remember God's word, when we treasure it up in our hearts. Would that we did it more often. But being that familiar, Christians, can actually work against us too. We can start to think that we already know it, that we don't need to listen to it anymore, and so we just kind of tune out. But when we focus on this psalm and learn from it what it has to say, we can see how good God indeed is. But on the other hand, it is also unfamiliar to us, because the pictures that it uses are pictures of shepherds in a faraway land, a place that is very different from our own. And when we bring our own experiences to it, it can be helpful, but it can also work against us in the end. Let me use myself as an example. I grew up around cattle. I have a lot of experience with cattle. I don't have nearly as much experience with sheep. Yes, I interacted with them in 4-H, and we had neighbors who had sheep too, but I don't know all that much about sheep. And so, coming to this psalm, yes, knowing something about cattle is helpful, but cows are not sheep, and so I need to listen to what the psalm has to say if I want to understand it rightly. And the same is true for many of you. I know that many of you have cattle. Some of you even have sheep, and that can be very helpful for us to understand the meaning of this psalm. But shepherds in ancient Israel worked with their sheep in a very different way than we do. And so if we want to understand what David is trying to tell us here, we need to consider those differences. Because when we focus on them and learn from them, we will see the point of this psalm. So what does the psalm have to say then? Well, the first verse is probably the most famous. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And already we have to ask ourselves, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to not want? Because when we use the word want today, we almost always mean our desire for something. I want to eat this. I want to do this. I want to go there. So want to us usually has to do with that desire, wanting something for ourselves. And we would think then, coming to this psalm, that not wanting means that God would make us happy, that he would give us the things that we would want, and therefore we wouldn't want anything else. Now, that is true. God does make us happy. And to be a Christian and to have the joy of a Christian is something that the world can never know. Yes, that much is true. But it's not the whole picture. Because we need to think about that word want. This word comes from the old King James Version, which is still influencing a lot of our translations today. It's a good translation. It's a beautiful translation. I use it a lot. But when the King James uses the word want, it's using it in an older way, a way that we don't use it as much anymore. Want can mean missing something or to lack something. So in other words, this psalm could very well begin, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." But you can already see how much that changes how we understand the psalm. Because if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, it goes to show that God provides for me, that he takes care of all of my needs, that he gives me the things that I need, that he knows best what I need, and they are given to me by my shepherd. And when I trust in him, I shall lack nothing. And honestly, Christians, our experience with animals can help us here. Because we know, whether it's cattle or sheep, that we need to take care of them not by giving them everything that they could ever possibly want, but by giving them the things that they need. I mean, think of it this way. If you gave to your cattle, for example, an unlimited amount of grain, you didn't hold it back at all, what a disaster that would probably end up being. They might very well eat themselves to death. Or once you brought in all of the hay for the summer, and you just set it out in the middle of the pasture, no fence around it, nothing, the cattle would eat all of it, and there would be nothing left for the rest of the winter. They would basically eat themselves out of the food that they needed. So if we want to take care of them then, we don't give them absolutely everything they might desire. We give them the things we know that they need. And for that reason, we give them, you know, hay during the winter, we give them salt and mineral during the summer, we move them from pasture to pasture. They may not always understand what we're doing, they probably can't understand, but we know that it's for their good. It will be for their benefit so that they truly thrive. And Christians, it's really the same way with God. God provides for us, God cares for us, even in ways that we don't always understand. So why then do we get so impatient? Why then do we wonder about what God is doing? When God doesn't give us everything that we might possibly want, why do we doubt his goodness? God, if you just did it this way, things would be better. God, if you just took this out of my life, things would be so much better for me now. Why do I have to go through this? We start to wonder if God is actually going to give us the things that we need. How wonderful it is, Christians, that God does know how to give us the things that we need. God, in his goodness, knows better than we do and gives us what we need so that we never lack anything. We thrive under his care because he is our shepherd who watches over us in all things. And Christians, David goes on to show us just how this shepherd cares for us. Verses 2 and 3. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." First thing you'll notice there is that the shepherd in this psalm is leading the sheep. We drive our animals. If we want them to go somewhere, we push them there, you know, either by horseback or by pickup or four-wheeler or even on foot. Whatever we want to do, we push them to the place that they need to be. And that's fine. That's just the way that we do it. But shepherds in that part of the world lead. They go out in front of the flock. They lead them where they want them to go. And the shepherd leads them to lay down in green pastures. He leads them beside still waters. And that's so very important in that dry land, Christians, because water in that part of the world is few and far between. And a lot of the creeks in that part dry up during the summer. There's a lot of places where water is just not that reliable. But every now and then there is an oasis, a place that has year-round water, a reliable water that's full of green grass, all the things that a sheep would need. The sheep wouldn't know how to get there. I mean, they would just get lost in the wilderness. But the shepherd knows where all of these places are, and he leads the sheep to them to provide for all of their needs. And that also means, Christians, that the shepherd is always with his flock. He doesn't just put them in a pasture with a fence and leave them alone most of the time. No, he is with them day and night, always watching, always caring for them, always being with them. He's never very far away. And so it is with our God, Christians. Our God, our good shepherd, leads us to the places where we need to be. He leads us to the place that benefits us. He watches over us. He cares for us. He is always near. And how wonderful it is to know that we truly lack nothing when we follow after him. But the shepherd also protects. This is why David goes on to say in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The land of Israel is full of hills, very much like Western North Dakota. But in those hills are also a lot of caves. And the caves are a perfect hiding place for all kinds of predators: lions, bears, wolves, and the like. And they will hide in the darkness, waiting for the sheep to go by. And if the sheep goes by without a shepherd, there's no chance for them. They're going to end up as somebody's lunch. But they don't have to be afraid, Christians, when the shepherd is with them. Because the shepherd guards them. The shepherd watches over them. He has his rod and his staff in his hand, so that he is always ready to defend them, to give even his own life for the sake of the sheep. And I think there's a beautiful example of this in our gospel reading. Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." And he says this because in that part of the world, the shepherds at night will move their sheep into a pen, usually a stone circle. And this stone circle has one opening, only one way in and out. And as long as the sheep are inside that stone circle, they're protected. They are safe from any predators, anything that might try to hurt them. But the shepherd himself sleeps in the opening. He is the literal door of the sheep. If a wolf wants to try to get in, he's going to have to go through the shepherd in order to get at the sheep. And Christians, our good shepherd is the same way. Jesus has laid down his life for us. Jesus cares for us in all things. He was willing to die for us. So what then do we have to fear? Why should we worry about the dark valleys that we pass through? Why should we fear even the darkest cave, knowing that the Lord is with us? Why should we be afraid of what this world can do when we know that God is always near? I mean, Christians, even the blackness of death should have no fear for us, because we can hear the voice of our shepherd, calling us through to the other side. There is no reason to fear anything, because our shepherd watches over us in all things. Now, David closes this psalm with a different picture. He's no longer talking about a shepherd, but instead talks about a host welcoming a guest. He says in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And if you listen carefully, Christians, you can see that what David says here is exactly the same thing that he has said before, just using a different picture and also doing it in reverse. So, for example, when he says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, it's very similar to what he says about going through the valley of the shadow of death, where he will fear no evil. Though he is surrounded on every side by enemies, God provides for him. God takes care of him, giving him the things that he needs. And so it is also with the oil and the cup. It's just like earlier, talking about making lie down in green pastures and leading beside still waters. God provides the things that we need, giving us all these things and welcoming us to himself. Oil was given to a guest, for example, to help him prepare and to freshen up for a feast. God gives us his oil to welcome us to himself. And the things that he gives us, Christians, are not stingy. God not only fills our cup, he causes it to overflow. God is so good and so generous towards us that he even gives us more than what we need. He is blessing us through all things. He is a host going out of his way to welcome a guest. And David says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is just like verse 1, where we see the goodness of God. Because God gives us his goodness not only one time, Christians, as if he didn't want to give it to us at all. God gives us his goodness and his mercy every single day of our life. These things follow after us. In fact, you could even say that stronger. You could say they pursue us. They chase us. God is running after us to give us the things that we need. God is running after us to protect us and to watch over us. God is running after us so that we will not lack anything. And we will dwell with him forever, because he is our shepherd, our guide, our protector, and our God. Let me say just one more thing in closing, Christians. Something that I think ties this all together, what you could call the central thought of this psalm. And in fact, it actually comes right in the middle. Because if you count up the words of this psalm in Hebrew and go right to the middle, you end up in the middle of verse 4, which says this, "For you are with me." That's the middle of the psalm. And what better summary of what this psalm has to say could there be? The Lord is our shepherd, which means that he is with us. He is with us to care for us. He is with us to provide for us. He is with us to give us all the things that we need. And what greater proof of this do we have than Jesus Christ, his Son? Because Jesus, our good shepherd, has laid down his life for us. Jesus is the source of every blessing. Jesus is Emmanuel, which, as the Gospels tell us, means God is with us. And Jesus has promised to be with us even to the very end of the age. Therefore, Christians, trust him. Look to him in the midst of every trouble. Do not fear the darkness of this world. Do not fear the darkness of whatever caves might be out in the world, because your shepherd is leading you. Your shepherd is protecting you. Your shepherd has made it so that you will truly never lack anything in him. Let us pray. O Lord, our shepherd, who leads us through the darkness of this world, teach us to always listen to your voice so that we may follow you without wavering and enter into the green pastures of eternal life. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.